No, no.
I begin, and the project is half finished. And what's this no, no, no about, huh?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I would hope so. I'd hope to kiss a pig.
Yes.
I begin, and the project is half finished. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campbell, California, with the thought for today, I begin and the project is half finished. Now, you just heard Ellen, forgetting that we are recording here and that we are doing this for all the world to hear. And she's talking to the dog, saying, no, no, no. And Sylvia is walking over and readjusting the sound system. And Ingeborg is putting her chair into place. And, you know, everybody's got some little act to do after the show begins. The curtain has gone up, and the actors are on stage, and the event is underway. It's half finished. It's half finished, and you don't even know it, because you just come aboard. You've finished all your little twiddly-twiddlies, and now you're ready. Okay, here we are. I begin, and the project is half finished. Now, how about that? That's really true. One of the most difficult things of any project is to sit down and do it, or to go and do it, whatever it may be. And once you start doing it, well, it's half done. Then the rest is just a matter of a skip, swoop, and it's all done. It's a wonderful thing. It's a very wonderful thing. I was thinking about a lot of people who are experiencing high blood pressure. And there are many drugs out for high blood pressure that help you to have lower blood pressure. And there are many techniques available that help you to have lower blood pressure. So if you have a project of high blood pressure, then you have looked into this. Your doctor maybe has told you that you've got to cut back on certain foods and you've got to get your body in good condition and do these different things. But what is the cause of high blood pressure? We'll just play with that for a moment. What's the cause of high blood pressure? Anxiety, concern, having your nose in somebody else's business. It's being concerned about the world, being concerned about peace on earth, being concerned about what goes on in other nations, being concerned about the economy, watching the stock market, up, down, up, down, up, down, and so your blood pressure goes up, down, up, down, up, down. When the market is good, your blood pressure says, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, and it goes up. When the market is down, your blood pressure says, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, and it goes up, you know. Either way, it goes up because you have anxiety, because you have concern. Now, what is it we tell people to do when they have a problem? When they are angry at someone, when they are upset about something, we say, stop and count to 10, or something like that. We say, stop and count to 10. Now, what does a little child do when they want to get your attention and they want to manipulate you? And they're quite successful at it. What does a little child do when they want to manipulate you? They hold their breath. They say, I'm going to hold my breath till you let me do it. And then you see him getting blue in the face. I mean, yeah, it's a good practice. And you see him getting blue in the face, and you think to yourself, my God, how long can he do this? All right, you can do it. And they know it. But you see, they know they don't have to breathe for 3 or 4 minutes. They know intuitively, they know what the limit is, and they're not going to go beyond their limit. I mean, you know, they're not going to stop breathing forever. They're just going to hold their breath, and once they feel that they must, then they'll do it. And what do? They let out air, because they got air inside of them. But they try to manipulate you by holding their breath. Now, what does that do to them? Oh, that puts their blood pressure right up on top level. But they're young, and so they're resilient, and it goes back to normal, and they forget about it. But a workable project is something that you keep up all your life. Now, all of us have anxiety. We have anxiety over something that's coming up. Oh, we're going to have a party. Is everything going to be all right? Is anybody going to come, you know? My parties are always well attended, you know. but they heard that my husband has AIDS, and so they may not come anymore, you know. And, oh, dear, I got problems. You follow me? You could have anything. You could say, my child has whooping cough, and they don't want to come to our house because we have whooping cough, you know, and something like that. So that's nonsense, isn't it? That's pure nonsense. It's just something that makes the blood pressure go up, 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 and we have a lot of fun. Now, I begin and the project is half finished. Let's take this project of high blood pressure in people. And it's in many people. People you wouldn't imagine it was in. The yogas have it. People who are spiritual leaders, the priests have it. The Pope has it. Everybody. Yes, they do. They all have it. And you know why they have it? Because they're concerned about what the people are doing. They're concerned about the world. They're concerned about things that they shouldn't be concerned about. What should we all be concerned about?
About ourselves.
And what should we do?
Like ourselves.
Be ourselves and have fun. We should like ourselves and be ourselves and have fun. Okay. Now, why don't we do that? Why don't we like ourselves and be ourselves and have fun? Why don't we? Well, the reason we don't is because we compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to others who like themselves and are having fun. Yeah, but look at them. They're doing all those things, you know. They're climbing mountains, they're swimming oceans, and they're you know, running races, and they're having all sorts of fun. And they're going fishing and hunting and camping, and they're going boating, and they're going paragliding, and they're doing this and doing that. Well, hey, you want to do that? No. Well, then why are you talking about it? You know, in the courses of the University of Healing, one of the most devastating things that a student comes to is that they lose their humanity. And humanity is being concerned about other people. Humanity is having uncalled for irritation and uncalled for anxiety over what other people are doing. And humanity means you're not touched by other people's emotions. You're not touched by other people's manipulation of you. You're not touched by the world. And you know, that's what humanity is all about. Humanity likes to have war so they can have peace. You know, they say, oh, when my husband and I argue, it's so wonderful because afterwards we make up and, oh, we have a love affair. That just doesn't end, you know. And hey, why don't you have a love affair that doesn't end without getting angry at each other? You know? If you know you're going to make up and you know you're going to do it, skip that first part. Skip that anger part. Skip that anxious part about what's going on, you know. But we don't do that. And so many of our students, they say, well, I don't want to lose my humanity. I don't want to lose my humanness. Well, okay. Why you're taking this course is beyond me. Because the whole purpose of this course is not to lose your humanness, but to gain your divineness. Now, tell me, all of you, can you be rich and poor at the same time?
No.
All right. Can you be sick and well at the same time?
No.
It doesn't work. Can you be human and divine at the same time? Now, you got a little doubt in your mind, don't you? You cannot be human and divine at the same time. If you are divine, you are untouchable, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental. You know, what's a divine person? A divine person is simply wonderful, simply beyond discussion, beyond comparison. A divine person is someone who just is great, and you can't describe great. They're just neat, you know? And do they want anything? No. Do they need anything? No. Do they come manipulating you? No. Do they care if you're bad or good or nice or tall or short or sick or well? Do they care? No. They don't see you any way except what?
Whole and perfect.
Being yourself and having fun.
They don't see you in any way except what?
Divine.
How you see them. They don't see you in any way except how you see them. Now, how do you see them? Do you see them sick, poor, and whatever? Then that's what you are. But if you are not sick and not poor, if you are healthy and wealthy and happy and hearty and all that good stuff, that's how you see them. That's the only way you can. Your eyes cannot behold something other than yourself. Can you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
That's so tough. I tell you, we have friends, students and friends both, who are afraid to lose their humanity. And in the process, they say, oh no, I can't do this, I can't do that. And in the process, they go around seeing everybody beautiful. They see everybody lovely. They see everybody fantastic. They say, but this is a wonderful world, but this is great. And they're doing everything perfect, you know? And they don't realize they're being mean and hateful and disgusting. And they're being mean and hateful and disgusting by not seeing the wrong side, by not seeing the other side, the unhappy side. Why don't you see the unhappy side? Why don't you see the death and the illness and the unhappiness? Why don't you see that? Well, it's my nature to see lovely things. That's right. It's your nature to be divine. It's your nature to be divine. The other is as much illusion as the one. And so we can't say that the evil or the unhappiness is an illusion that cannot be compared to happiness and health as an illusion also, because they're both the same. They're both illusions. Now, what illusion do you want? Now, is the illusion of happiness, health, harmony, peace, goodness, and every other good thing, is that a reality? Is that something that has immortality to it? No. No. The concept has immortality to it. And the concept of evil has immortality to it. Those are isnesses. And only when they are relative to you are they humanesses. You got that word. Only as they're relative to you are they humanesses, are they human. And when they're not relative to you or anybody else, then they're divine. Are you untouched by the fact that a rattlesnake crawled into the front door and out the back door? Ooh, ooh, you know. Yeah. Now, could you see it and say, oh, hi, guy, passing through, huh? And then you'd open the door for him, wouldn't you? Yeah, but you see, you haven't gotten over that illusion. You still allow that illusion to be something in your life. Now, I help you to plant that illusion in your mind because I want to see just how long it takes you to get rid of it. I tell you, don't leave the doors open around here without sliding the screen because some ippy-crawly creatures are going to come into the house that you may not want. Some little gophers, some little snakes, some rattlesnakes, some whatevers, you know, tree runners and what have you, and maybe a coyote. Maybe, yeah. You see how close they come to the house, you know? Yeah, they love us. But the thing is, do you want them? And why are you creating them? By your thought. They're just poof, out of your mind, coyotes. Poof, in your mind, beautiful, harmonious, trained, what do you call them, pet dogs, you know? Humanized dogs, not human, yes, humanized. But think about it. I begin and the project is half finished. Now, what's one way we might begin having perfect blood pressure? One way we might begin having a perfect relationship with our friends? One way we might have a perfect relationship with ourselves? What's one way? Well, count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, now what's your problem? It's just like you had a sedative, you know. And you're no longer upset, you're no longer shook. Well, now, that's a good way to do it. Now, here's another way that I found very, very successful for me and for everybody that I have told it to, and I haven't told it too many, because it's mine. Maybe I won't even tell you. what is it? You know it? You know it?
No.
Oh, okay. I think you knew it. So, I say, if we can breathe more slowly, and if we can do it more consistently, We'll have our sedative. We'll have our relaxation. We'll have our peace. Well, now, how do you breathe more slowly? You say, one, two, two, in and out. And that's not it. That won't do it for you. Yeah. To breathe more slowly, it takes a specific training for yourself. It's a project that is quite easily, once you've begun it, you're halfway through it. Now, the way you do this is, it's a 7-7-7. Just remember, 7-7-7. It could be a 6-6-6, and then it would be consistent with some other ways of doing things, but I say 7-7-7 because I like 7. Okay, now, you breathe in through your nose, and then out through your mouth, 7 seconds. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Just breathe out. And then you breathe in through your nose, and breathe out, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. And of course you can go 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, 11,000, 12,000, 13,000, 14,000, 15,000, 16,000, 17,000, 18,000, 19,000, and on, you know, because your breath is there. You got a lot of breath. You don't have to worry about your breath. Now, you breathe in deeply. I can't get a 7 out of that. But breathe in deeply, and then through your nose, and then purse your lips so that you don't let the air out too fast, and go out to the count of 7 seconds. And 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7. Now you're going out 7 seconds. Okay, now. So you breathe in. Let's see. Let's look at the breathing in. That's a long 7 second breathe in.
Yeah.
But just breathe in deeply. And then breathe out for 7 seconds. And you can mentally count it, or you can physically count it. But the thing is if you do it, you're liable to let too much air out. But once you train yourself, then you can handle it. Okay, now, you do that for 7 minutes every morning when you first wake up. 7 minutes, isn't that much? And then, after you've done that, then go about your daily life. And do that for 7 days a week, every week, for 7 months and 7 years. You know. No, you do that and make it a habit. And when you make that a habit, you will slow down your breathing to such a point that your anxiety will be completely shot. All of your tensions will be gone. All of your feelings of having your nose in other people's business will go away. Now, why will that all happen? Because you're not, what should we do next? What should we do next? You know, breathing in deep. You know how you are when you're so anxious, when you're so filled with, now, everybody, let's go do this, let's go do that. Hey, Ellen, what do you say instead of let's go do this?
It's done.
Wonderful. Oh, you are so fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's done. We say, it is done. And amen. What is amen? It's done.
So it is.
And so it is. It's done. I mean, our prayers have always taught us that amen. And religious science says, and so it is. And unity says, amen, and so it is, and it's done. They say all of them, you know. And many other organizations, New Thought or traditional churches, they all have a conclusion to their prayer. Otherwise, the people just keep on praying. What a terrible thing to do. But in the church, they give them these prayer statements. And that's great. Okay, now, think about that. Think about that. What is it we're doing? We are speaking our word, and we are breathing in 7 times out, and when we do that for 7 minutes every day, after a while, you won't have to do it. You will just do it naturally. It will become your natural way of breathing. And you will be breathing very wonderfully. And you'll be even talking while you're breathing out. And you won't even have to breathe in. You're obviously feeling wonderful. Now, I've known a lot of black people in my life, and I've admired them so greatly for many reasons, but one exceptional reason is these guys and these girls, they have voices that ring from the depth of their being out, and they don't even make it happen. They just, well, now, how are you today? How is everything going in your world? Are you feeling great and good? Their barrel voice, their voice, and it's not overwhelming. It's their natural voice. And they're so blessed to have this beautiful, powerful, dynamic voice. And when they sing, the world is alive with the sound of music. Wish I could do that too. And maybe I can. But the thing is, they're great, naturally great. And you don't think a thing about it. And they don't either. They take it for granted because they're naturally doing that. Now, we can naturally do a lot of things too, but we have to train ourselves to naturally do it. I have people in our classes, and they think that I'm being very unhappy with them because I say, please speak up. Please speak up. I want you to be heard by everyone. Please speak up. Please speak up. Speak up. And they say, that's getting to be a pain in the butt. You know, what's this? Please speak up. Please speak up. Well, because you have within you the potential to speak your mind and to say what is important to you and to be heard. Well, then be heard, or else shut up. If you don't want to be heard, don't speak. If you want to be heard, then speak up and speak with all your enthusiasm, all your joy, and all your power. Now, as I say, we should get these people who have this natural ability and have them teach us what the natural ability is, except they won't know. They won't know how to teach what is natural to them. And this is just fine. When we are living something, we don't teach it. We teach it, if you will, by our living it. Mm-hmm. And that's the best teacher we can be. Now, I admire those people who have that tremendous voice. And I know that Mario Lanza, Caruso, and many of the other great singers, they had it naturally too. But they had to learn, perhaps, the music. They had to learn doing the arpeggios and doing the other things that were important to voice control. And just like Gertrude Suter, one of my very prized students and prized friends, is what does she do? She went, after she retired from her schoolwork and so forth, to go and take singing lessons. And before that, she wasn't really very good at singing, and she didn't give anything to it. But after her singing lessons, she was great, and she's now in a great choir. But she came here one day to give us a demonstration of what she was learning, and we thought surely she would tell us, like, Mary had a little lamb, you know, some little song that you learn when you're first playing a guitar or something else like that. But no, she sang us the scale. She sang us the scale for 5 minutes, and the scale was beautifully done. Mm-hmm. And in various octaves and so forth, and we listened, we thought, wow, she loves what she's doing, she's proud of it, and she's good. She is good. Now, we couldn't have said that not more than a few months before, but she applied herself to a new direction. Now, she intuitively, innately had it within her, but she did not develop it. She did not push it forth. You see, I begin and the project is half finished. Is Gertrude going to sing for the rest of her life?
Of course.
Is she still taking lessons?
Sure.
Does she need lessons?
No. She enjoys them.
She enjoys them, and they bring out new aspects of her singing ability. And you see, the project begun is half finished, because now she is singing happily, joyously, wonderfully, and perhaps everyone doesn't appreciate her, but she does, and her singing teacher does, and her choir director does. So those are three very important people in her life. Now, practice this breathing thing if you like. And if you don't have high blood pressure, be thankful. If you do have high blood pressure, you won't have it around very long, so pay attention to it and enjoy it while you have it, you know. Because it's soon to leave you. When you start taking control of your emotions, your mental attitudes, your everything through your breathing. The Hindus have taught breathing for centuries. And many churches teach you to say breathing, you know, and amen, 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 you know. And the Catholic Church with their chants. That's all those chants are breathing things. Om. Not necessarily om, but Jesus, 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 Savior of our soul. Jesus, 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 Savior of man. Now, see, those you think, phew, the words are not the important thing, but they come from the chants from the church. They come from the monks singing in the cloisters every day. And their breathing is beautiful. Their modulation is beautiful. Their control is beautiful. And they do not have high blood pressure. They are not worried about anything. So, yes, that's true. And singing in the chants. The chants are very powerful. But I begin and the project is half finished. So, if you wish, you can try that. Breathe in through your nose. Breathe out through your mouth 7 times, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007. You don't have to count out loud. That doesn't hurt either. But breathe out, don't go breathing in. And as you do this, do you love me? Yes. Are you happy? Yes. Is the world wonderful? Yes. So, get to be peace with all yourself. Well, we've given you quite a bit of time this morning. So, enjoy and know that I begin and the project is half finished because I love you, I love you, I love you.